Talktainment Radio Worldwide Sound. Talktainmentradio.com. We give you a reason to come.
The world's greatest radio.
We give you a reason to stay.
Radio, the way it should be heard.
You got the power.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guest and not necessarily those of TalktainmentRadio.com, the management, the staff, or K&E World Network, LLC.
Live call-in talk show, dial 1-877-932-9766 and join the conversation here on TalkTainmentRadio.com.
This is The Compensatory Concept with Mr. Neely Fuller, heard exclusively on TalkTainmentRadio.com, the world's greatest radio. Radio, the way it should be heard. And now, Mr. Neely Fuller.
If you do not understand white supremacy, which is racism, what it is and how it works, everything else that you understand will only confuse you. Only confuse you. Only confuse
you. All righty. TalkFamilyRadio.com. Second hour. We go where you go. On the world's greatest radio. That is TalkFamilyRadio.com. You are now in touch with the compensatory concept of Mr. Neely Fuller. Mr. Bob, today's discussion is about the word determination or determined, and we focused in on justice. And you, if you didn't get the first hour, Mr. Fuller gave a compensatory a definition of what that is to help us stay determined to do that, to do what? Justice, to eliminate what? To eliminate racism. White supremacy, and then he has given many examples, particularly on page, I believe it was page 60, under Time and Energy. He really expounded on that. Donations, this is the donate hour, and we're about $1,000 short, so please, ma'am, please, sir, go ahead and let's see if we can take that up or get that eliminated. I understand that donations were slow this week, so do your due diligence with that. Let's see, two more things here. Hopefully I'll get a chance to discover or to expose some adware apps that are on your phones, particularly if you have an Android. And maybe I'll get a chance to talk about what they're doing over in Sweden, which is chip insertion. Hopefully I'll get a chance to do that, but you'll really like or understand about these adware apps, what they are doing. It's, and a lot of it are the same terms that Mr. Fuller has talked about, sneaking and hiding and all that kind of stuff, but we'll get into that. Okay, Mr. Fuller, this is a question from the Gmails. This is from Miss Lance. She says this, Mr. Fuller, I have a brother only 2 years older who is in a desperate need of the code due to his dysfunctional behavior. I've tried to introduce your book, Mr. Fuller, and the entire concept of the code to him, but instead of giving this vital information a chance, he asked me if Mr. Fuller is a white man and accused me of acting white because I use logic over emotion. In your opinion, Mr. Fuller, should I give up on my brother and let him learn the hard way?
The answer is no. That's part of the determination, persistence. But what you do is when you talk to him, don't preach or teach or even tell. You do what? If you're going to solve a problem. See, evidently you're presenting this as a problem, the caller. So how are all problems solved? Not according to Neely Fuller, but according to the laws of the universe. All problems are solved through the process of what? Questions and answers. So what I would recommend, going directly, see, because codification is about doing something. Not just about how everybody feels and all like that. Doing what might work the very best. Okay. So you go immediately to the wants on page 171 of the textbook for victims of white supremacy that you can get by going to producejustice.com. And that's page 171 of Wants, and that's the recommendations of the questions to ask. But what I have there is, what do I want to do? But you can paraphrase that when you're talking to another individual. You ask, what do you want to do? Always start with, everybody wants something. Mm-hmm. Every creature on the planet, every minute of the day, wants to do something. Even if you're sitting in a chair and you see another chair over another side of the room, and you got up and from the chair you're in and went across the room and sat in that other chair. Now, why did you do that? Because you wanted to do that. So why did you want to leave the chair you're in and sit in another chair? Mm-hmm. Well, you would say, oh, because that chair across the room looked like it would give me more comfort than the chair that I was in. So I'm going to try it. See, you satisfied a want. Every day, all day, a person wants to do, you want to catch the bus. You want to get in out of the rain. You're in the dentist chair and you want the pain to stop. All right. You want that doctor to do something, that dentist to do something to stop the pain right now. Okay, that's why you came there. Everybody wants something. Every minute, every creature, a fly, a bee, a bird, an alligator, wants something every minute of every day. So, the first question you ask your brother, in this case, to be specific, because everything in codification is about specifics, details. All right, question number one. What do you want to do? Not what I want you to do. What do you want to do? You don't want to hear me talk about racism and all this, so you don't. You don't talk about things. That's the first thing you don't do. You don't talk about something to a person when they don't want to talk about it. You ask questions. What do you want to do, including what do you want to talk about, all right, if you want to talk at all, okay? So what do you want to do? That's number one. Number two, why do you want to do what you want to do? Because there's a reason why you want to do whatever it is you want to do. And you just wait on the answer. Don't interfere with the answers. That's another thing about codification. Once you ask a question, don't interfere with the answer. Wait on the answer and have another question ready. Not a statement, another question. What do you want to do? Why do you want to do it? That's number two. Number three, how do you plan to do what you want to do? Mm-hmm. And wait on the answer. Mm-hmm. He might give you a long, drawn-out plan. Mm-hmm. Or he might say, well, I don't have no plan. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's his answer. Now, don't make a comment on his answer that say, oh, you don't have a plan. That's the only comment you can make. Because that's the answer. Stick with that. Don't argue about the answer or nothing. Just go to the what? Next question. And that's the last question, because it's just four questions.
Yes.
It's not 20. And what is the last question? What do you expect the constructive result to be of what you want to do? And after you find a plan for doing it. And just, you know, whatever the answer is, mm-hmm. then you say, well, okay, you told me.
Okay.
So, all right, now, that's it.
Okay.
And every time you see him, have those four questions ready.
Oh, got it.
What do you want to do? Why do you want to do it? How do you plan to do it? And after you do it, what do you expect the constructive result to be?
Okay. There you go, Miss Lance. Another question, Mr. Fuller, from Miss Greenidge. She says this. Mr. Fuller, Have you looked into the use of magic by racist white supremacists that occupy and dominate groups such as the Illuminati and Freemasons? For example, the use of spells in entertainment to directly influence society through social engineering. Also, in your book, you mentioned to practice eclectic pluralism. However, some tenets of faith are drastically different to one another and cannot be reconciled. In this case, what takes precedence, i.e., monotheism or paganism, in the quest to uphold truth and justice?
Well, that's several questions in one, I guess.
Have you ever looked into the use of magic by racist white supremacists that occupy and dominate such groups as the Illuminati and Freemasons?
Well, see, I've heard people talk about the Illuminati, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But in under the seventh area of activity in religion in the textbook for victims of white supremacy, and I talk about eclectic pluralism. And now, first of all, what is eclectic pluralism? Well, that's a term that two words that I took out of the dictionary and put them together to describe what my religion is. And it's a religion defined the true religion. That's the definition of it. Eclectic means choosing from many, and plural means many. So I just put the two words together to emphasize, you know, you look around at all the world's religions, the tribal religions, different types of religions. The caller is correct about that. There are many different types of religions. And to mention something about the Illuminati has a religion. I don't know what that is. I don't even know what the Illuminati is. I've heard people talk about it. But you don't even have to bother with that. All you got to do, stay in the question lane. Particularly when the people approach you with any kind of religion. It's only three things you want to know under the pluralist doctrine. Because, see, I'm just trying to find my way. Trying to find, since everybody says they have a religion, or many people say they have a religion, most people say they have one, and then other people say, I don't have religion, I don't believe in religion. Well, first of all, what is religion? Religion, according to the code, is a strong belief backed up by action. So people are really saying, I have a strong belief, and I act on what I believe in. I really practice what I say that I believe in. Because if you don't practice what you say you believe in, you don't really have it anyway. Mm-hmm. So under eclectic pluralism, which I put in the textbook, for those who don't have a religion that they can recognize as a religion and people can rely on them to have that religion, is there's three things when you're discussing religion, first of all, that you do under eclectic pluralism. There's three things. The codification is about keeping things straightforward. I mean, so you don't keep going around just in a circle all the time.
Mm-hmm. The last question was speaking about the differences or in the drastically different to one another, and sometimes they can't be recognized. She said, in this case, what takes precedence, i.e. monotheism or paganism, in the quest to uphold truth or justice? What takes precedence over that, she's asking?
Well, in answer to the question, see, to the entire question of what she's saying, because she asked several things there, and a lot of the words she used has to be explained. But if you want to just cut to the chase according to the code under eclectic pluralism, when you're talking to anybody about religion, which I think that's what she's talking about when you're talking to other people about religion, it's just three things that you do. Not a lot of things, just three. And what are they? According to the procedure in the seventh area of activity, according to the counter-racist code and eclectic pluralism, you ask three questions. Stay in that question lane. Don't move out of the question lane. What are these three questions? What is the name, sir or ma'am? Always be polite. Of your religion. Most religions have names. They got some kind of name. Okay? So you ask, first of all, what is the name of your religion? And let the person give you the name of his or her religion. That's number one. Number two, sir, ma'am, what does your religion require you to do in all nine areas of activity? And then be patient and listen, because you they will say, what nine areas of activity? Mm-hmm. Then you give it to them.
Yes.
Because you're asking the question.
Mm-hmm.
Economics, education, entertainment, labor, law, politics, religion, other people's religions, sex, and war. Okay? Sir, ma'am, what does your religion require you to do in economics?
And wait for the answer.
And wait for the answer. And don't argue about the answer. Just record the answer and try to remember it.
Okay?
Then move to the second. Education. What does your religion require you to do when it comes to the education system that you believe in or that you follow? You know?
Mm-hmm.
And how do you entertain yourself? The third area of activity. Mm-hmm. Do you have some type of entertainment in your religion? I mean, do you all play piano or something? Or do you have a choir or something? Or do you sing? Do you dance? You know, do you blow smoke rings or whatever? Okay. Entertainment. Labor. What kind of religion, what does your religion require you to do when it comes to the type of work you do and the type of work that you are prohibited from doing and when and where? So you just ask these questions on through, you know, right on down to the last question, which is about war.
Okay.
What does your religion require you to do when it comes to fighting in a war? I mean, when it comes to killing people or people trying to kill you, what does your religion require you to do according to your religion? You're doing the talking now. I'm just listening. Okay? That's what you tell people.
Okay.
And last but what was that?
Yeah.
That was number two. Number three, what does your religion require you to do when you interact with me in all of these nine areas of activity? And that's the punchline.
That's the punchline. Yes,
because
sir.
That's really all you want to know about anybody's religion. I don't care who, you know, what they say their religion is. At the beginning and the end of each day, all you really want to know is what the relationship between you and that person doing the talking is going to be. That's the only thing that counts.
Okay.
Now, the history of their religion and all like that, and how many gods they believe in, whether they believe in one God or 27,000, I mean, that's their business.
All right.
You just want to know, basically, that third question.
Okay.
What does your religion require you to do when I see you coming
and
you see me coming? So I'll know what to expect of you.
Okay.
And that's all I want to know. I don't need to know nothing else.
I just want to
know how you're going to relate to me.
TalkTainmentRadio.com is a 24/7, no-charge worldwide broadcasting facility with hosts delivering on various topics such as news and lifestyle, sports, law, health, wellness, religion, and politics. Here's three that I'm going to share with you, all in the family with S. Yolanda Robinson. Let's do this at a conference. Oh, yeah, Conversation with Don Corina, Stairway to Heaven. These are just three of the many shows that TalkTainmentRadio.com does carry. And all you have to do is go to the TalkTainmentRadio.com homepage, click on programs, and sample the ones that you select. And see if you like it or not. Hit the like button if you do, or leave a comment. You can. All this from TalkTainmentRadio.com, radio the way it should be heard. My name is Mr. Bobby. I am the co-host on The Compensatory Concept with Mr. Neely Fuller Jr., and we are focusing in on determined, and we also, I won't say it's a side topic, but determined to do what? We're focusing on eliminating racism, white supremacy, through justice. And if you missed the first hour, you know, go back and listen to that, because we're trying to be specific and hone in to keep us on the straight and narrow using this right here, this book, and the title of it, The Independent. Think about that. The United Independent Compensatory Code System Concept. We've been taking your Gmails, and and answering your phone calls. Let me do this before I go on. This is one of the two things. For those of you, and I'm including this particular group, that have an Android phone, let me tell you what they're doing now. Some of you all probably are aware of it. It's called Adware, which is hiding on your phone or your device. These are sneaky apps, and you need to get them out. This is by SOPHOS. They do everything they can. Listen to this. Reminds me of white supremacy. They do everything they can to hide themselves on your device and inject crappy advertising into everything you do, in all areas of people activity. What is most damaging about these apps is their creative, listen to this, creative techniques used to bury themselves into your device to make it easier for you to forget them. Trick and a trickery for you to forget them. How about that? Forget them. In other words, they're using deceptions. These malware apps navigate under different names to refer to themselves when you're trying to find and uninstall them. They can be uninstalled, but they use confusion. So don't, when you see these apps, and we're a society that has all kind of things, beware, because they're sneaky. They're doing things to you, gathering information that you don't know about, and they hide, just like the white supremacists do. They hide in plain sight. Okay, compensatory concept with Mr. Neely Fuller Jr. Jane, she says this to you, Mr. Fuller. Mr. Fuller, thank you so much. And she said, I will go to the question and answer route from now on. So she wanted to thank you for that. Okay, let's do this question here. Let's see here, going down here. Okay, bear with me. Did I get Ms. Greenwich's question? I think I did, but if not, okay, we'll just select another question here. Let's see here. Okay. Okay. This is from Anthony over in England, in the concept called England. He says, Mr. Fuller, as you have mentioned on several occasions that there is no master list for the white supremacist, what are your thoughts about victims of white supremacy making up their own suspected white supremacist master list, especially for those white people who were interact with on a regular basis, whom have either directly or indirectly been violent and or deceitful toward non-white people. Now, using counter-racist logic, how should we deal with those white people after that fact has occurred? Should those white people be exposed by non-white people to everyone?
In answer to the question, according to the code, every person classified as white should be suspected of being a white supremacist if that person is able, underline, able in big letters, able to be one. Every person who is classified as white, who say that they're white, they're classified as white, and who functions as white, who is able to practice white supremacy, racism, should be suspected of being one. Now, that's not harsh. That's logical. It sounds harsh. But every person classified as white, if that person is able, see, some white people are not able to be racist, like a newborn white baby.
Okay.
A newborn white baby is not able to be a racist, if you go by logic. Not able to practice racism. Why? A newborn white baby doesn't know one color from another. You have to know your colors. That's number one. If you know blue from green, red from purple, brown from orange, then, and you're a white person, then you should be suspected of being a racist. Mm-hmm. Why? Because you're in a racist system. White people are born in a system of racism. They're not born outside of it where they can elect to be a part of a racist system. No, a white person doesn't have that option, just like black people don't have that option. We're all born in a system that's already set up, a world government called the system of white supremacy. We're all born in that category. And white people become aware of it by being around other white people. They're not aware of it when they are born. They don't know what system they're in. They don't know anything about anything. Mm-hmm. But little by little, they are taught.
They're taught this. He says this, what are your thoughts about victims of white supremacy making up their own suspected white supremacist master list?
You don't have to do that because I just said it. Every white person who is able to be a white supremacist should be suspected of being a full-blown white supremacist, period. There's no exceptions to that. Why? Because you don't have a master list that's already made up by someone else. So even if you make up a master list, you're just making up a list where, according to the code, you have already taken for granted, is this person able to be a racist?
Okay.
Does this person know one color from another? Then this person, if this person is classified as white, I don't care how nice they are, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and how many favors they do people, and how many wonderful things they do, and how many times they prove that, you know, that they keep their promises and all like that. The person should be suspected of being a racist because the person is able to be one. Until when? Until racism no longer exists.
Okay.
Now, it's a practical reason for this. Some of the greatest racists who ever existed, or what? In fact, the greatest of the greatest, are people who are what? Able to deceive their victims.
Ah, yeah.
All right?
Okay.
That's why some black people will say to other black people, now, I know about racism. I got it down pat. And I can say that this white guy or this white woman that I know, she ain't no racist or he ain't no racist. And I know this because I was raised up with him. I mean, right from the day I remember, when we were just all 5 years old. That's when I first met him. And they have never done anything racist.
Okay.
I mean, you know, now this black person is telling you this, you know, and so you say, never, you're sure of that? No, no. Say, I always double-checked on them. I triple-checked on them. And I can say, out of all the different white people on this planet who are racist, that this guy, Mr. So-and-so or Mrs. So-and-so or Miss So-and-so, ain't no racist. I'm telling you that. You can absolutely rely on that. Now, what does the code say when somebody tells you that? You say, okay, I heard what you said, sir or ma'am.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that same white person, this is according to the code, that you say is not a racist and has proven to you for all these years, I mean, for the last 40 or 50 years, that he or she is not a racist, that same white person has to start all over and prove it to me.
Hmm.
See, in other words, that's that united independent factor.
Yes.
Now, what does this mean? One black person cannot vouch for a white person as not being a racist to another black person. The code does not permit it. Why? Because there is no universal master list. You might make up a master list, but Is everybody on the planet in agreement with your master list?
Gotcha.
So to keep down all that, what you don't want, confusion, you just say every white person who is able to be a racist should be suspected of being one until racism no longer exists.
Got it. All righty. Let's see here. Break here. TalkTainmentRadio.com. We go where you go. Download the TalkTainmentRadio.com app to your cell or to your tablet. Podcasts are available. That's radio the way it should be heard. Stay right there. Mr. Warren, I'm going to ask your quick question about food and maybe some phone calls and more of your Gmails. All that and more as we focus in on the word determination. Determined to do what? To be just. And you know the compensatory definition of justice. All that and more coming up next on TalkTainmentRadio.com, radio the way it should be heard.
TalkTainmentRadio.com is proud to present the compensatory concept. It is an effective system for countering the effects of white supremacy. TalkTainmentRadio.com is able to carry the first hour. However, the cost for the second hour is exceeding our limited budget. That is why we ask for your kind assistance in keeping the second hour on the air. If you believe like we do, help us in this struggle for justice. Go to the gold donate button on the TalkTainmentRadio.com web page and hit the gold donate button. That's the gold donate button. And please donate. Help us to keep the second hour of the compensatory concept on the air. Thank you.
For the best home fragrance and beauty products, shop Ash Kickin online.
That's A-S-H-K-I-C-K-I-N.
Made with 100% natural quality ingredients and handcrafted with your family in mind, Ash Kickin products are better than those other guys. Ash Kickin candles, incense, body butter, face moisturizer, and hair moisturizer are priced just right, and you can get yours at 10% off with coupon code TALK17. Support this 100% black-owned business and get your home and body smelling and feeling all right.
That's A-S-H-K-I-C-K-I-N.
Shop Ash Kickin online at www.ashkickin.com.
The big vote. All votes count, and we're counting on you. Join Blacks in Government and the Federally Employed Women for the 3rd Annual Local Candidates Forum, Saturday, October the 19th, from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. in the St. Dominic's Parish at 453 North 20th Street. That's behind the church. Moderators are S. Yolanda Robinson and Kahari Inahar.
Stand by for an important announcement for renters and investors.
You have probably heard about this bad economy and high foreclosure rate. I'm here to bring you hope. Every foreclosed property is a blessing or a deal for a new buyer or investor. These properties are selling every day all over Central Ohio for several reasons. They are equity rich, worth tens of thousands of dollars above their price. There is down payment money available and remodeling funds if needed. Don't let the doom and gloom news keep you from your dream of home ownership. Call Linco Realty today at 865-9614. That's 865-9614. Call now. Always remember, these times, like all times, are good times if we but know what to do with them. They also have programs for investors who want to get off the couch and run with the big dogs. Call Linco today at 865-9614 or log on to repohomeslist.com.
This is Al Edmondson, owner of A Cut Above the Rest Barbershop. I'm calling on all barbers and beauticians. It's time for us to unite as one. We can serve our communities better together. Join the Ohio Black Barber Beauty Network. For more information, visit www.obbn.org or call 614-427-3226 to get more information. Be the change that you want to see in your community. Join our network.
Looking for something special for your club or group? Take a trip. Cruise Planners will help you plan the event of a lifetime. Explore exotic places from Africa to Asia, Bermuda to Las Vegas to Hawaii, with special offers that make it affordable and exciting. Click on to www.greatgetawaytrips.com for great deals or call today at 614-707-SHIP. That's 614-707-7447.
Sex Code War by Kahari Inaharo, the author of the Essence magazine bestseller Race Code War, is releasing his second book, Sex Code War. Be on the lookout for Sex Code War.
If you or someone you know is abusing drugs and or alcohol and want to stop the abuse, contact APDS at 1409 East Livingston Avenue. Office hours are 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. daily and 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. on Saturday. APDS is certified by the Ohio Department of Mental Health and Addiction Services and primarily funded through the Adam H. Board. Fees are based on your income and Medicaid is always accepted. For more information, call 614-253-4448.
Here's an idea. You've heard of the notion of pay it forward. It comes from the 2000 movie, Pay It Forward. Basically, the premise is helping someone with no expectations of payback, providing assistance to someone, passing information on, simply doing a good deed for a total stranger, and instead of allowing them to pay it back, ask them to pay it forward. Doing favors for other people and asking them to do the same. The principle is the same as multi-level marketing, except that instead of soap or vitamins, it's generosity between strangers that is being passed on. Pay It Forward is mentoring, it's volunteering in your community, it's shoveling a neighbor's snow, or cutting an elderly person's grass for them, or taking a senior to the store. Don't wait for someone else to do something good. Do it yourself. It starts with you. Talktainment Radio strongly embraces the notion of pay it forward. In fact, we just did.
Lead, inspire, change the world again. Join thousands and find which volunteer opportunity is best for you. Call 1-800-424-8867 today or visit www.getinvolved.gov. This message is brought to you by the Corporation for National and Community Service on this station.
Live call-in talk show, dial 1-877-932-9766 and join the conversation here on TalkTainmentRadio.com.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
You got the power.
My name is Mr. Bobby, and I am the co-host of the Compton Story Times. I'm Mr. Bobby Jr. And our topic today is determine, well, you could say determination, but we're determined to eliminate racism, white supremacy through justice. And we're using this book right here, which Mr. Fuller will talk about in approximately 11 minutes. Listen to the title, The Independent, The United Independent Compensatory Code System Concept. Think about that real slowly. The United Independent Compensatory Code System Concept. Think about that. Mr. Fuller has given examples of that in answering questions and so forth. Before we go on, I did mention this. Let me tell you what's going on over in Sweden. Many of you know, many of you do not know. But they are inviting and inserting chips into people in their hand so they can be scanned at airports and at vending machines, going through the cashless society and so forth, and they're doing it. Right now, it's on a voluntary basis. But being that things have often go sideways, they don't tell you about the bad things that happen when they can do that. Someone referred to it as the mark of the beast. You know, I don't know about all that, but somebody wants control, and this is what they're doing it. And this is what they are doing now, not thinking about it. They are actually doing it. I saw this on MSNBC, and it's, anyway, it makes me, give me the, okay. Just to be aware of that. Just to be aware of that. Okay, from the Gmails, let's do this. This comes from Mr. Warren. He says, Mr. Fuller, would you agree that the usual suspects are killing us from food, even though they say it's safe, but we can even pronounce some of the words on the label on the back?
The answer is yes. The white supremacists are at work doing anything that is their reason for wanting to be on the planet, and that is to practice white supremacy. In order to do what? Have fun, to have glory, while they're having fun, being well thought of, that's what glory is, and to produce material comfort. But it's basically in that order. The first one being fun. They get fun out of dominating and mistreating people of color. If you look at everything they do, what you call white culture, that's what it's made up of. I mean, all the little things like growing plants and putting up buildings and all like that, that's just the frame. Mm-hmm. All of it. It's just the frame. Fancy cars, going here, going there, going on vacation and whatnot. That's just the frame for the nucleus, the center. The main thing is dominating and mistreating people of color. These other things, the white supremacists know how to do them, but that doesn't really give them any core to their existence. That's the way they think. Mm-hmm. That's the way they think. If they're not dominating and mistreating people of color, they say, why do anything? Why have family reunions? Why go and visit places that look different? Why go to the moon? Why do anything if you can't dominate and mistreat people of color? That should be your reason for being.
Yes, sir.
I mean, that gives you real focus. The other things are just a frame for the domination, to be able to show off how backward they are as compared to us, right. How stupid they are as compared to us. That's what makes me get up in the morning. That's what makes me feel great. That's what makes me strap on a pistol and go and find some black person, like I do the other animals, creatures, because they're all animals. I go alligator hunting and whatnot, go squirrel hunting. And I know I got all the power over them. But every now and then, I just want to go shoot a few.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to eliminate all of them, because then I eliminate my source of fun.
Yeah,
if there's no black people on the planet, how am I ever going to have fun? Next thing you know, I'll be killing the members of my own family, because I love killing. I worship it. That's the white supremacist mindset.
Okay. Before we talk about your book, Mr. Fuller, let's take this phone call. Caller, you're on with Mr. Fuller. Go ahead, please.
Hello, Mr. Fuller, I wanted to ask you about us being failures under the system of racism, white supremacy. Sometimes when maybe I have a good day or I want to feel happy about something or celebrate about something, since I'm aware of racism, white supremacy. It always dawns that I really can't do that, because since we're still under the system, we're all failures. So could you elaborate a little bit more on that? I've heard you personally say that on programs.
Well, it's okay to have fun, but you have it within the context of having fun doing what? Since the white supremacists, logically speaking, have fun mistreating people. You have fun practicing justice, which is what this program is about. See, it's not just getting rid of racism. We want something, we want to do something, or should want to do something that's never been done by anybody in recorded history. And that's two things. Guarantee that no one is mistreated, ever. No one, anywhere on the planet. And guarantee that the person that needs help the most gets the most constructive help at the time and place that it is needed. Right now. That's never been done by anybody. But just because it's never been done does not say it can't be done.
Thank you,
because Tom. That's the compensatory definition for justice. And that's where your fun comes from.
Okay.
I mean, you know, if you're not working on trying to bring that about, then you shouldn't consider yourself of even having fun.
Okay, Mr.
But I'll go to the time and energy. I just want to say this. Go to the time and energy page. These are the ways that you do it.
Okay.
There's four things there. Just four, not 400.
That's on page 60, right, of the revised?
Right. 60, 61, and 62.
Okay.
That's on the economics. The first thing in the book is economics.
Okay.
How to use your time and energy.
Okay. Now, before we talk about your book specifically, in the movie Shawshank Redemption, and we are in a global prison system, well, they were in greater confinement, but as we are in confinement, as some of us are beginning to open our eyes and realize, the brother said something about fun. In a prison yard, in the greater confinement, is playing a sport like softball or whatever they play, basketball or lifting weights or whatever they do, would that be considered having fun?
Well, you can say that that's fun because look at the time and energy. Are you doing something constructive? Well, you are repairing or maintaining your body.
Okay.
All right, when you do that. So that should be your purpose, not to win the game and go around bragging about this, that, and other. No, it's an exercise. That's all it is. You're in a prison, so you're playing basketball. Well, that's to keep your body in shape so that you don't put on too much weight. You don't have a lot of dead weight, what they call it, and your muscles don't start getting weaker and weaker and weaker because you're in that cell most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
So what you do is keep your body in shape, and your body, your mind is a part of your body, all right? That keeps your brain working, et cetera. You have to think when you're playing basketball. But look at the movie, like you just said, the host just said.
Well, Shawshank Redemption was the movie.
Yes, Shawshank Redemption, right? And look at Andy Dufresne and Red. When they were talking, they were also doing what sometimes? Playing chess.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
All right? That's they weren't playing basketball. Yeah. They were using their minds.
Okay.
Chess is a mind game.
Yes, sir.
And Andy Dufresne spent a lot of time making chess boards, all right, out of rocks. And that's what he would do when they were out in the prison yard. Now, he was having fun, but at the same time, he was keeping his mind active.
Okay.
His mind active in doing what? Trying to figure out how to solve problems, because that's what chess is.
Okay.
What to do, what not to do, what moves to make, what moves not to make.
Okay. All right. Good question. I mean, good answer. Let me see. Mr. Fuller, I tell you, I have a caller, but let's talk about your book briefly, and then we'll get to the call. Go ahead and speak about your book there.
Yes, you can get the book by going to producejustice.com, and I've been reading from the book this morning, the basic revised edition. Some people like the earlier edition, the original. That's on that website of producejustice.com, too. And also the word guide, which I say is very important. It's not absolutely necessary, but it will certainly help, I think. That's why I wrote it. But it's an addition. I don't even consider them as being two books, even though they are two volumes.
Yes, sir.
I would like to have crowded it into one book. I tried to do that, but the book would have been too thick to carry around.
Yes, sir.
Because the basic revised edition is over 400 pages, and the other book is over 400. Yes, that's a lot of pages.
Yes, sir.
But at some time, I'm going to try to get it all in one book. And you know, if someone can figure out the mathematics for doing that.
Yes.
And, right. And then you have it all in one book at a decent price. But you can get it by going to producejustice.com. And what it is, everything is directed to the individual person. What you can do as an individual without having to say, well, we got to wait until black people get together. Forget that. The code doesn't operate on that premise. The code operates on what are you going to do today, right this moment. Everybody has this minute. This minute you're here on the planet. What are you going to do today that makes the most sense? That's what the code is designed to do. Have black people do things all day long that make the most sense wherever they happen to be on this planet called Earth.
Yes,
and in this prison system called the system of white supremacy. Go to producejustice.com, and the book that I have written is supposed to help you to do that.
Okay.
If it doesn't, it's failing in its purpose.
Okay. And again, and I'm going to say this slowly, even for me, but it's just important that you understand that this is called the United Independent Compensatory Code System Concept. Let that sink in. All right. TalkTimeRadio.com. You're listening to the Compensatory Concept with Mr. Neely Fuller Jr. I am the co-host, Mr. Bobby, 1-877-932-9766. Or you can Gmail me at the numeral 7, Mr. Bobby, B-O-B-B-Y, gmail.com. Right now, we're going to take a phone call. Caller, you on with Mr. Fuller. Go ahead, please.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Calling because I was listening to what Mr. Fuller said regarding the reason why racists feel like they get up in the morning, which is to dominate and mistreat people of color. But it also made me think about a statement I once heard that Alexander the Great allegedly made, you know, a long time ago, and that is, war is to man what childbirth is to women. And I'm going to repeat that again. War is to man what childbirth is to women. That's the most profound statement I've ever heard in my entire life. And if you have any thoughts on that, Mr. Fuller, I'd like for you to just, you know, provide some feedback on that.
Yes. Right. Now, you mentioned who? Alexander the Great?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Alexander the Great, presumably, was a white person. So what he, Alexander the Great, I heard from what little history I've heard, I heard many years ago, Alexander the Great conquered a lot of non-white people. So that would fit the scenario of a white supremacist. And that he reached a place in the desert, presumably someplace in what we now call North Africa, and he looked out at that desert, and he didn't see anybody as far as he could see. But it looked like a wasteland. It looked like there was nothing out there. There was no people out there. And so from what, if I recall, what one of my teachers taught me before I got out of elementary school, that Alexander the Great sat down and looked over that desert from where he was sitting and said, there's nothing out there, which means there are no more worlds for me to conquer. There are no more people for me to conquer. And then he did what? Cried. Alexander the Great sat there and cried. Now, that's the main story that I remember about Alexander the Great, to this day. Because I liked history back in those days, but I forgot a lot of it. But that stands out in my mind when you mention Alexander the Great, that he sat down and cried when he looked at that vast, what he thought was a vast wasteland, and he didn't see any people moving around. It's so hot, and it's so much land, and it's all desert sand. And he says, my goodness, there's no people. It's none of these dark-skinned people. That's really what they had to be, all right,
yeah,
in that area, because
yeah,
that's who's there now.
Right.
Okay. So, hey, you know, I'm a white supremacist. I'm supposed to be conquering people. That's my job. And the people I'm supposed to be conquering, hopefully, will be dark-skinned people, because there's so many of them. Boy, I can go forever doing this, just stomping on them wherever I find them and having them worshiping me. Oh, boy, that's how I get my kicks. Mm. Now, I have reached the point where it ain't no more of them, except the ones that I already have. And, you know, been there, done that. I'm supposed to get some more. But it ain't no more. And so he sat down and cried. That's the essence of the system of white supremacy. Every person of color on the planet should understand that that is the essence of white supremacy. People have asked me sometimes, Fuller, just, you know, generally speaking, without making a long speech, what is it that the white supremacists really want? I said, the white supremacists really want white supremacy. That's why it's so hard for black people to understand white supremacy. That's all they really want. They don't want nothing else. All this other stuff is just stuff to do on the side.
Okay.
Everything. What they really want more than anything is some non-white people to dominate and mistreat. And if they can't do that, they'll just soon be a rock on the moon.
Okay. Got a question from Mr. Partridge. Says this. Can you ask Mr. Fuller, what is the lesson to be learned from the movie Sounder?
Oh, all of the movies that I have on that movie list of 40, which eventually, one of these days, hopefully, I'll get it up on this website, producejustice.com. But all of the movies are supposed to be movies with a number of lessons. Some movies have more lessons than others. And most of the movies are kind of what most people would call boring, really, most of them. I mean, but, you know, going to school can be boring, but that's like going to school. But that's the best that I could do for people who don't want to do a whole lot of reading, or what reading you have done. You can learn the lessons in a movie by just knowing what lessons to look for. The movie Sounder showed basically that black people, when the more pressure they are under from the white supremacists, the more tendency we have to make the most sense. See, when the white supremacists are not as deceptive as they usually are, like the scene in the movie where they were coming on, the black people, a group of them, were going back to their shacks and whatnot, back in the day, as they say. And they were passing by this white church, and this person, one of the black people, said that God, he was talking to God, asking God, why is it, you know, that something to the effect of, why is it that white people do in their church? Because white people and black people have separate churches.
Uh-huh.
And what is it that white people do in their churches? And God answered, according to the black guy who was telling the story, said, and God answered me and said, I don't know, because I've been trying to get in there and find out myself.
Okay.
What white people do in their churches. Because I ain't got no idea, because I'm God. I ain't got no idea what they're doing in there, you know.
Yeah.
I got to go, implying that God got to go over to the black church, you know, to find out what, you know. So God ain't been able to figure out what them white folks are doing in church at all.
Ooh,
so
Lord.
They definitely ain't proved that they're doing anything that he won't done.
Wow, okay.
That's just one thing.
Yeah.
And then also the politeness and the scene of the young boy. It's a very scene, it's an excellent scene in there, where the young boy is telling a story about saving his sister from drowning, or his brother, yeah. I forgot which.
Well, you know what, when we hear the music, you know what that is. Mr. Fuller.
Oh, all right.
It's been such a pleasure today, callers and Gmailers, it's been also a pleasure too. So thanks for listening, Mr. Fuller, thank you for being and answering our questions for us. TalkTainmentRadio.com, the world's greatest radio, the way it should be heard. We'll see you next week. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to The Compensatory Concept with Mr. Neely Fuller. Heard exclusively on TalkTainmentRadio.com, the world's greatest radio.
The most important question in all racial matters is why. One should always ask it.
Radio, the way it should be heard.
You've got the power. The world's greatest radio. TalkTainmentRadio.com.